five dimes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have these five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got that, Ben? Good? Okay. But what happens if someone else comes? What happens if this guy comes right here, right? What do you think happens?
I don't know.
From The Athletic, I'm Jeff Schwartz. Can Tom Brady resurrect the Buccaneers? Famous Jameis is the best free agent left. Gabe thinks that Todd Gurley will put the Falcons back on the map, and we'll spend a good amount discussing whether the NFL offseason and the entire season gets canceled. It's Tuesday, March 24th, and this is Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. That was great. That was my kids trying to teach them a little bit of empty protection yesterday. We're getting bored with the quarantine. We're trying to make it work. Gabe, how is quarantine life treating you? You have a young one. You have a very young one.
I have one very young one and two pretty young ones. Those are the two you might hear in the background. I am not trying to teach them how to block. That would be useless. I don't know how to do it. They wouldn't be good at it. But I liked seeing your son and daughter do it. I felt very much like your daughter was my spirit animal, and that you sort of get through the how to block 5-on-5, and you say, what do you think would happen here? I don't know. That's kind of the whole point of this show, isn't it?
It is the point. My son actually, if you go to my Twitter, at Jeff Schwartz, my son got it right. He a couple minutes later, the first take, by the way, got it exactly right. And yeah, I mean, the stir craziness is happening pretty fast here. Hope everyone is staying safe and kind of getting through this time, and just trying to have some fun with it. Hopefully this gives you an hour break from your day. So with that, Gabe, why don't you lead us off?
All right. So like every Hall of Fame quarterback before him, Tom Brady will end his career with a team we will not remember. At least that's what I thought everyone was on board with. Apparently, everyone thinks that the Bucs are now awesome just because they signed soon-to-be 43-year-old Tom Brady. They went from being kind of a middle-of-the-pack team to now the third-best team in the NFC, if you go by Vegas odds. They went from 7.5 win total projection to 9.5 win total projection, which means people think they're a playoff team for sure. Basically, the public loves the Bucs all because Tom Brady arrived. There really hasn't been much else that I'm aware of changing there. Shouldn't we just be seeing this as Tom Brady's spite season? Like, this isn't real. Larry doesn't really want to be a barista. Tom didn't really want to go win a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. He just wants to shove it up Belichick's you-know-what. So why are people taking this seriously? Why do they think the Bucs are going to be good?
And Larry's spite store is working, and Tom Brady's spite might work to help them win in Tampa Bay. Here's the deal. I think Tom Brady can still play. I think that's what a lot of people believe as well. Does he need help? Yes, and he has the help, right? Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Cameron Braid, O.J. Howard, they're going to draft, I think, an offensive lineman at 14 this year. Probably Andrew Thomas will be there. Maybe the Jones kid from Houston, and they'll have their left tackle. They have a good interior offensive line, and their defense was fifth last year in DVOA. So they have all the pieces to make this work. And then I added a Hall of Fame quarterback who, to your point, is spiteful. And if he can still play, that spite will translate to wins. I think that the 9.5, it's interesting because they played a much tougher division than Tom Brady did his entire time, obviously, there. So they get the Saints, and the Saints roster, guys, probably the best in the NFL right now. The Saints are loaded, and they just got Emmanuel Sanders, completely loaded. Atlanta, and we'll talk about them in a second, they're loaded as well. Very talented. Now, the Panthers, they're kind of in this weird, are we rebuilding with Teddy? Are we not? Sort of thing. The Panthers are out. But the division is better. So I don't know if they're going to be 10-6, 11-5, 9-7. But they're going to have a chance at every game. And here's the number one reason why Tom Brady matters on a team like this. Really any team, a quarterback that you can trust. Someone asked me yesterday in an interview, hey, what does it mean to have Tom Brady if you're an offensive lineman? And I kind of just made it a broader discussion about confidence, okay? And if you have a quarterback like Tom Brady, you're confident, your whole team is confident that at the end of games, you will win because of that guy. Right? You will win if you keep the game close, if you do what you have to do. If you do your job, Tom will do his job. And I played on teams where that's not the case, Gabe, where I could do my job and the quarterback's not going to do his job, or vice versa, right? And I think that the confidence that will come with knowing that quarterback is in the position to help you win every single game will make everyone else just play a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit more aggressive. And that's the big reason why they'll do more winning, is because they just will have a comfortable feeling of, we're going to get after it, and we know the guy has our back. But I will say, I will caution you on this, and we'll talk about the NFL offseason program in a little bit, but specifically the Tampa game, and this might be helping your point. Without the offseason, I'm really curious to see how quickly this can begin, because you need to have cohesiveness on offense. And it takes 8 to 10 regular season weeks typically for a new offense with a new quarterback to get rolling, right? This is not a new offense, but it's a new quarterback who has run an offense one way for 20 years. Now he has a new offense. And there's no offseason workouts. There's no offseason program. We're not going to have that this year. So how does Tom get some connection with his wide receivers, with his tight ends? I'm sure he's going to organize workouts, he'll fly people wherever, and they'll get stuff done. But without practice, and training camp now is even reduced even more than new CBA, I do worry, Gabe, that that is an actual concern, that they'll start slow because of the lack of cohesiveness happening in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to do a whole big topic on exactly what you just got at in a moment, but even the great Tom Brady right now can't get his buddies on planes. People can't get together and go over the offense in a meeting room. You know,
What's stopping me from getting people on a plane, though? The planes aren't grounded.
Okay. You think the guys are going to be like, just because Tom Brady pays for a PJ, they're going to get on a plane and go hang out with him in wherever luxury resort? Where are they going to hang out?
If Tom Brady... Well, I don't know what his place in. If Tom Brady in California was able to get a private high school to let him use their field right now, you don't think he'd fly Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and all the O.J. Howard, Cam Brate would fly out and train with
him? So now you're telling me Tom Brady can also beat coronavirus. He can beat everyone for 20. Now he's got coronavirus on the ropes.
If he's alone in a field on a private school in California,
throwing sweaty football to each other, it's not going to happen.
I'm saying that I think they'll try to find a way to make it happen. I'm not saying it's smart or prudent to do it, but I bet they're going to try to do it.
All right. Well, I see a lot of good quarterbacks on their schedule. Let's talk about the quarterback who's no longer in Tampa Bay. So Jameis Winston, still only 26, by the way.
Yeah.
Threw for like 900,000 yards last year. Has had some great moments in his short career. Just had LASIK surgery. We've always seen him squinting, looking around. Now he can finally see. Imagine how good this guy will be when he can see defenders. He's suddenly out there on the open. Everyone assumes the Bucs will get better with Brady over him. I'm not 100% sure, but he's now available. So we just got news while we're recording. Cam Newton is expected to be released from Carolina. So by the time people hear this, I'm sure that news will be official. But, you know, Jameis is probably the best free agent out there. Now Cam's out there. Like, where do some of these other quarterbacks end up, and how could that change the calculus?
Well, let's talk about Winston. So the problem is the turnovers, obviously. And I'm not sure the LASIK's going to help, because he just didn't see linebackers dropping in a cover three. Like, a lot of interceptions were the exact same thing over and over and over again. And maybe the LASIK will help him read coverages better. Maybe it won't. I think the turnovers generally will, if he were to start again next season somewhere, I think he would throw for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. The interception would come down to maybe 17 or 18. I don't expect 30 interceptions, but I do think he's going to have to be a backup right now for one more year. And maybe look at like a Ryan Tannehill situation where he becomes a backup, the starter sucks, and they put him in, he plays well for 8 weeks and gets another big contract. That feels like Jameis Winston's path. I can't see a lot of teams right now deciding to go after him when there's a draft coming up where you draft a new young quarterback.
Okay, but he's 26. I mean, Joe Burrow is what, 23, 24? Like, he's old. You get a guy who's still young. And if Tom Brady can play until he's 40 forever, why can't Jameis Winston play, you know, deep into his 30s? Like, you'd have contracts on your hands.
I think he can play that long, but again, someone's going to have to take a leap of faith on him. Maybe someone who misses out, you know, let's say the Chargers really want Tua as their quarterback at six. Tua's gone by six, and they say, look, okay, we're not going to draft a quarterback, we're going to draft the left tackle, we'll sign Jameis Winston. Like, that situation feels the most, that type of situation feels most likely for Jameis Winston to have a spot. I do not see him getting signed between now and the draft. A team could have signed him already. So that's where I think it comes in. It's like a post-draft, either a depth signing, a backup, or like the Chargers, like an example, he becomes the starter there when they just draft a tackle at six, not a quarterback.
All right. Zuri always puts some nice notes together for us. He raised one point I hadn't really thought about. You've mentioned the Chargers. We know that, you know, crummy teams like the Jags and the Dolphins will get talked about. I like this idea. What about him signing in Pittsburgh? Physically, kind of the same kind of dude as Ben Roethlisberger. I feel like, you know, the turnovers, a little bit different sort of style of play, but I feel like he could fit in well in Pittsburgh as a backup and maybe become the long-term solution, no?
I think the Steelers would be an interesting option. You know, Big Ben, tall, kind of thick. James Winston, tall, thick, big arm.
Thick with
right?
a That's bunch what, of C's at the
yeah,
end
but
of
I'm
it.
Telling
yeah.
you, the decision-making process has got to be better for him.
Well, all right.
And then, I mean, obviously, of course,
he would learn that in Pittsburgh.
And he's got to grow a nice, thick beard, though.
All right, so listen, in the division, you sort of mentioned it. The Falcons signed Todd Gurley, so he was released by the Rams after that huge deal a couple years ago. Now he's in Atlanta. Your buddies at Pro Football Talk pointed out first,
oh,
I think,
best
and
friends.
everyone on the internet pointed this out to me, and I am buying this idea. The Falcons could very easily field an offense with 11 first-round picks. All 11 guys, former first-round picks. This offense is completely stacked. We just talked about the division. It got tougher, but man, they might score 40 points a game.
Yeah.
Like just a few years ago, this team looked insane on offense. Now they have even more weapons. This is going to be a scary team in the NFC.
The problem is their defense sucks. It sucked for years
now.
That
doesn't matter.
It does matter because you have to play a little bit of defense in the NFL, but you're right. Okay. Let's go over this just so we get a quickly. Matt Ryan, first round pick in 2008, Gurley in 15, Julio Jones in 11, Calvin Ridley a couple years ago at 18, Laquon Treadwell in 2016, Hayden Hurst, who just they acquired from the trade via the Ravens, 18. He was drafted last year. Jake Matthews, excuse me, 2 years ago, Hayden Hurst. Jake Matthews, 14. James Carpenter, 11th. Alex Mack, still playing well, the center in 2009. Chris Lindstrom. Last year, and Keelan McGarry last year, both guys drafted by the Falcons last season to play offensive line. So, yes, it's pretty amazing to see them get all this talent. Now, you know that I'm firmly against paying running backs a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
I actually like the Todd Gurley signing. It's a low amount for the Falcons to pay. I think it's $7.5 million, something like that. And I think that if he's healthy, he'll fit well in the offense. The question is health, obviously, right? So their offense is going to be good. I agree with you. And I was on their bandwagon last year. He was either between the Cowboys and the Falcons, in my opinion, to win the NFC. I chose the Cowboys. That didn't work well either. But they have the talent to do this. The question becomes, obviously, on the defense. Like Dan Quinn is a defensive coach. And for him to have a terrible defense is not a good look. And I'm actually surprised he didn't get fired last year, because the reason why they were losing was their defense. It wasn't their offense. And so, look, the offense is going to be great, but defense. Show some defense. Let's go, guys. Play some defense.
Okay, but, I mean, there was a long time there where the Chiefs didn't play any defense, and they scored 40 points a game. And then eventually they figured
they
out how to play some defense.
And the last... Yeah, and they won the Super Bowl because they figured out how to play some defense.
Right, so
yeah, I mean, the Falcons theoretically could figure it out at some point, but they've shown over the years to not be able to figure it out. They have the same D coordinator. The Chiefs changed coordinators and put Spags in charge. They got Honey Badger. Like, they got Frank Clark. They have Chris Jones. They went ahead and made – and look, the Falcons transactions don't scream to me Frank Clark and Honey Badger.
Well, I mean, offseason isn't over yet. There is some time. Maybe they could go find a few first-rounders to play defense, too. They got enough on offense. I feel like the league is trending towards offense first. Gurley is just the latest addition. Calvin Ridley feels like everyone's breakout in fantasy this year, just by the way. Like,
probably.
Yeah, like, I mean, Matt Ryan probably has a couple more, like, don't forget about me seasons left in him if he wants to be considered a Hall of Famer one day. It feels to me like it's more than just the sexiness of that tweet, like all 11 first-round picks. It feels like there actually is something, because they weren't that far off the last couple of years. I guess they might score the most points in NFL history and go 8-8 is kind of what you're telling me. But I feel like a few more wins are possible for them. All right, let's we're talking about speculating about a season, by the way, that may or may not even happen on time. So let me just give people a few more facts. We teased this at the top. Football news for now is that the league postponed off-season programs indefinitely. So that usually includes things that go from about April to June, mini camps and OTAs. You'll fill us in on exactly what one does at each of these things, but those could be canceled entirely. League meetings scheduled for next week, canceled. Obviously, you know, owners and execs can't get together. We know all the other sports leagues are canceled, but that's more a factor of they're supposed to be playing now. They obviously can't. The NFL isn't set to kick off until early September. But I have to say, if all these off-season things that we're told are so critical to the NFL calendar, if all of them are getting pushed off or canceled, guys can't get together, guys can't get in shape, expand on the part that we talked about with Tom Brady and the Bucs. Like, I don't see this season starting on time, and I don't want to bum people out and freak people out, but like, I don't know. Convince me that they can get this back on track by September, the way things feel right now with us recording the way that we're recording in our homes.
Okay, so there's a lot of talk about this, obviously, because of the cancellation of a lot of things. The Olympics now has been postponed. We obviously know the NBA season probably not coming back. MLB will come back at some point. All of college sports, spring sports, canceled, at least for now. I don't think they're coming back. I mean, you know, I'm in Charlotte. We don't have school till May 15th, okay? So, like, I mean, it's just it doesn't look good for the spring. Obviously, that means OTAs, off-season program, not happening. As far as a season, and I'll get, Gabe, I'll get back to what happens in the offseason program and whatnot. I just want to make this point kind of clear. So today is March 24th when we're recording this. We have about 4 months till NFL training camps open up for the Hall of Fame game teams, okay? It's August 6th. They go back 15 days to get to when the teams report, okay? So 4 months away from that, if my math is right? April, May, June, July, okay? 4 months. The first weekend of NFL games is September 13th, okay? Almost 6 months away from now. So we have plenty of time to figure out how to handle training camp and the regular season. It feels to me like people are almost rooting against the NFL starting on time because they don't want to be disappointed if it actually doesn't happen. I don't know the reason why. But my whole thing, and I've said on, I read this on Twitter, I understand what's happening in our country. My wife is a nurse. I get it. Okay, folks. I understand what's happening. And I'm very, I get it. Okay. But my whole thing has been like, look, we don't know what next week's going to hold. We don't know what next month is going to be, month after that. Like, we have time to be optimistic. It's okay to say, look, I'm going to be hopeful the NFL starts on time because we don't know what's going to happen in 4 months from now. Is that, Gabe, is that a feeling I should not have? Because it feels like that is against what people are trying to tell me I should feel.
Well, yeah, without trying to get into all the various camps on Twitter land of where people line up, you know, if their optimism or pessimism, and all of us suddenly becoming experts on something we knew nothing about a few weeks ago. I'm with you in that I don't really want to get into all that. I guess the reason I'm not as optimistic about the season starting on time is because apparently, all I've heard for my whole life is that all of these off-season routines really matter. So if they do matter, how are they going to get done? How are guys going to be ready and healthy by September if they can't do any of those things in April, May, and June? Now, you could tell me they never really mattered, or they'll live without it, or they can compress it into July and August. I'm open to hearing about that. That's what I want to know from you. But I don't see how you can compress all that time and still get the season going with everyone being healthy. I'm not commenting on whether the country will be back to normal in September or not. That's not for us to guess about.
That is, that's a great point. And it's really why the Olympics has been postponed, right? Is people can't train, right? Right now, Olympians are in the middle of training for their trials, right? I mean, they're in the most critical stage of their physical development as they get ready for the trials and then obviously going off to Tokyo. And I agree with the Olympics saying, look, we just it's not fair to our athletes, right? Gyms are closed right now, and people can't prepare. I'm on board with that.
The difference with the NFL is a couple things. One is that it's March 24th. There are guys working out, but they're not totally ramping it up quite yet, right? That begins about April 1st, which obviously could be delayed in a week. We'll see what happens in a week. We know there's talk about kind of quote unquote restarting the economy, and maybe they open gyms back up. We don't know in a week. We'll find out. I know guys are still lifting when they're not supposed to be in gyms. I know that gyms are secretly opening up. Guys are working out. They're trying to do what they can. We've seen videos of guys working out outside. But we still have a lot of time for NFL players to get into shape. Like let's just say May 1st, we open gyms back up. I'm just throwing out a random date. I don't know. May 1st. May 1st, you'll be ready in time for July 24th to start camp. You'll be ready in plenty of time. We have had this happen before, and I was part of it in the 2011 lockout. Now, gyms were not closed, obviously, so we worked out as a group. It was a group of four or five offensive linemen, Jordan Gross, Ryan Khalil, Travell Warren, Jeff Karrengartner. All five of us worked out every day, so we still got to go to a gym. So guys can prepare in their own ways. And yes, not having a gym now is not helpful, but it doesn't hurt quite yet. If you're telling me that there's no gym access on May 1st, then I start being worried, Gabe, about guys being ready to play in July for training camp. Because here's the thing about working out. Of course, it gets you in shape, but it helps prevent injuries. That's number one what it does, is if it prevents injuries. If you are in shape and your muscles are ready for the physical contact, the explosiveness, the wear and tear of NFL season, then you stay healthy typically. Obviously, there's freak injuries. You break a bone. I've broken many bones. It happens. But that's why you work out. It's really to prevent injuries, to stay in shape, prevent injuries. So that's a legitimate concern. But I think as of March 24th, it's not as important. If we had to do this May 1st, and this was a discussion we had after the draft, and we're like, gyms are still closed for another month, I would be concerned about the players being in physical shape to start training camp. Again, I think training camp is still going to go off when it should. They might spend 2 weeks getting guys in shape before they get in pads. I mean, they might adjust the schedule a little bit. But I do think that we'll have football back at the end of July on time.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hope you're right, obviously. Not just for as a football fan, but I hope that lots of things go back to normal by that time frame. I'm not trying to be the guy who's, sees the sky falling. It seems to me that, you need to do more than what you can just do in a gym at a lot of position levels, right? So offensive lineman, it's mostly everything you said, but a wide receiver needs to run routes and you need to do more than you can do even at your nice mansion, you need more space and you need to work with teammates. And those are two things that you don't have when you're stuck in your own home by yourself. Well,
yeah, but look, we didn't work with teammates all during the lockout and we survived.
Okay, and there weren't more injuries, and there wasn't the play was as crisp.
I don't remember. No, we kind of eased our way in that year too. And remember now with the new CBA, there's a 5-day acclimation period of training camp. You're less pads, more off days. I mean, so there's things already kind of put in place in the CBA with the new CBA to allow people to slowly work back in. But I think there's a valid concern with the players' ability to work out right now. That and the same reason why, like I said, that's why the Olympics got canceled, essentially. I don't think they got canceled because people are worried, at least now, that people would get sick in Japan in the summer. I think they're worried about, and I think it's valid, that people can't train right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And other people in other countries can, by the way. So someone in a European country that's not closed right now, they can work out, but us in America can't, right? It's unfair to let one country have more ability to work out than the other one. So I get what, but again, the NFL, it's March 24th. I mean, I know guys, some guys have barely started working out right now. Some guys have home gyms. I know a buddy of mine who just basically bought a home gym to start training his guys in. So there's guys are finding ways to be creative and make it happen. Other guys are not, obviously. But I'm not worried about it yet. Like I said, if we revisit this on May 1st and we're shut down as a country still, I'd be more concerned.
Okay. Well, I mean, then I don't need to raise the level of concern here on March 24th. Let's talk about this as we learn more. I mean, this is all we're going to be talking about every day of our lives till we stop talking about it. So we'll come back to it on this show when we feel like the time is right. Let me ask you this, because I actually do think these are slightly related. We got news of Travis Frederick offensive lineman for the Cowboys, is retiring. He is yet another big-name player, retiring under the age of 30. So we know about Gronk and Andrew Luck and Luke Kuechly. Now Frederick goes, another good player with some Pro Bowls to his name. You know, is it possible that with a long time off and an uncertain future, that sort of guys who are on the fence and starting to think about things other than football might just say, you know what, I'm done? And this is not just the other concerns guys had with playing into their 30s, but maybe just this weirdness right now is a reason for a few guys to hang it up. Is that a possibility?
I didn't think about that. Probably not. I don't.
So you think Travis, for instance, was probably going to do this either way?
Well, Travis retired because of the autoimmune disease that he had, the Guillain syndrome. And he said in his letter that he couldn't, you know, he played okay last year. And he can't just play the level he wants to play. So he had to retire.
Yeah.
That not related at all to what's happening right now.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, yeah. And I'm not trying to connect dots where they don't need to be connected. I was just curious if, you know, this trend of guys just not wanting to put their, you know, their health at risk.
I think more guys might be like, I need to get out of the house. I need to play some more.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, let's move the line. We usually try to do a few over-unders to wrap up the show. These are all pretty silly this week. So here we go. Number of Watts in Pittsburgh within the next 3 years, over-under 2.5. We currently have two Watts. Two Watts in Pittsburgh. The only one missing is JJ. Will we get JJ there soon?
The way Bill O'Brien deals players, it's very possible it could happen tomorrow. Hey, Bill, we have a high-pressure laundry machine. It does the work in half the time that your laundry machine does. We'll give it to you for J.J. Watt. Bill would sign up for it now.
Yeah, he would take that deal. No problem.
Yeah,
no, seriously.
He would take that deal.
The other two Watt brothers are there. I'll mix up who's who. They're teasing their brother about coming.
TJ is the defensive lineman and Derek is the fullback. You remember in Moneyball when they traded a player and they wanted their Coke machine filled for the year? That feels like something Bill O'Brien would do. Like, hey, give me a player back and just fill my Coke machine for me.
Okay, well, you mentioned Bill O'Brien, and we talked about last week how Deshaun Watson was going to react to that new Hopkins deal. So Deshaun, out of nowhere, with this tweet yesterday, and I'm going to butcher this, so don't get in my mentions, but Deshaun tweets, I don't know how I'm going to make it out here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. I'm told that's a Drake lyric. I can't recognize it now.
Wait. You were told that. You text me it was a Drake lyric.
Well, I mean, Deshaun cleared it up when people were wondering what he was subtweeting. He said it's a Drake lyric. Comes from the song Motionless. So it's still a subtweet. It's still clearly him using somebody else's words to give us an indication of how he feels about losing the other half of his duo.
I love it.
He's not happy. I tweeted,
no, of course not. Zuri being our resident music person here, the song is called Emotionless.
I just said that, Jeff. That was my nugget.
Oh, you
to
did?
Share. Yeah,
I,
yeah.
Oh, you I didn't. Really sorry
about it.
No, I was looking at the lyrics again. Deshaun Watson should be upset because DeAndre Hopkins is his boy, and I expect a lot of subtweets. More, I would say over 4.5. But the reason why I love the subtweet, and I'm looking for my tweet from yesterday that I said about this, is that it gives us a ton of content. Like, this tweet will give radio segments in Houston, it'll be 4, 5, 6 segments. It gives NFL radio an hour worth of content. It's so great for our business when athletes do things like this.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, my buddy Nick Wright will give this an hour probably.
I said inject cryptic tweets from athletes into my veins. This tweet gives us multiple segments of material. Thank you. Oh, Nick Wright's be Mad Dog would be for 2 hours tonight.
Yeah, about this. I mean, this is honestly a lot more interesting and more fun to speculate about and unpack than like what LeBron did with his kids, because it's that or this. So I guess we need to get into Deshaun.
LeBron James newest TikTok.
Yeah,
LeBron James newest TikTok. By the way, have you been on TikTok?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen what's going on over there. I don't spend a lot of time with TikTok.
I go on there and I like before I know it's been like 30 minutes, it's just the same videos over and over again. People doing the same dances, and it's like mesmerizing to me. I don't know why.
Well, I mean,
so it's not like any good. Like I don't
I have no desire
to post anything.
You were right on the verge of a viral success when you were gonna sort of do that alignment challenge thing on TikTok, the thing you came up with in Mexico.
I still have all the videos.
But you can't do it in public any longer. The whole idea was you needed to surprise people with it. How you gonna?
Yeah, I thought about doing it. I was like, who cares? Like, I don't want to be virally famous on TikTok. It's not like my thing. Like I'm not gonna come. And the reason why, here's the thing about being viral on social media. And I do well on Twitter because you can share your feelings and kind of be humor and have a little humor with it. You know, is that if you do something viral on TikTok, people will expect you to keep doing stuff like that. And I'm not that creative.
No.
I can't do that. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm just not going
to
do it.
But you could be a TikTok one-hit wonder, Jeff. You don't have to, you know.
But it doesn't benefit my life. It doesn't benefit my life to be a TikTok one-hit wonder. Am I get paid for that?
Bro, benefit your life. You know what I did last night? I watched a documentary about a Lion King.
Tiger King?
Yeah, exactly. I just call him a Lion King.
Tiger King?
Yes, I'm one episode into Tiger King now, and it's probably the only thing that I'll talk about with anyone in my life for the next week. So we got nothing.
You finished Curb yet? Are you caught up on Curb yet?
Yeah, I am. I didn't want to spoil anything for you. You referenced it earlier, and you got something.
I have half the episode left from Sunday, so I probably got it wrong then.
You said, look at Latte Larry's, things are going well. I'm just hang in there for that last 20 minutes, buddy.
Okay, good. the one with John Hamm last 2 weeks ago was just the most incredible 30 minutes of television.
It was perfect. And God bless all these people for doing the cameo. So you got up to the Jonah Hill part of the final episode?
Oh yes. Yeah. Jonah's deli. It's unbelievable. The look he has and like despite deli, that whole newscast, it's just unbelievable. Oh, despite deli. Incredible. Oh, amazing. So
I was gonna throw one more over under at you.
Yeah, let's do it. I actually like this.
Number of times Joe Buck calls video of one of our kids while we're stuck inside. What are the odds? I think your kid's more likely than mine. Over under 0.5 times.
Yeah. I was going to post something with my kid. I'll try to get him to do it. I'll say over because I'm going to just spam them with tweets of my kids doing weird stuff.
All right. I'll probably take my kids out and do something. I don't know if I'll turn them into wrestlers or I'll do something and see if we can get Joe's
attention. You probably know him, though. I don't know Joe.
I worked at Fox for a little while. I never met him. I think I was at a Super Bowl function with him, but I don't know him at all.
Nice guy. I don't understand the hate Joe gets because I think he's really good at his job.
He's terrific.
And
he's great.
He calls he'll do World Series Saturday, NFL Sunday, World Series Monday. It's incredible.
Yeah. No,
People hate on him.
They hate on him for the same reason they hate on anything that's popular. The fact is the majority of people think he does a terrific job. He calls the biggest events really, really well. He doesn't hate your team, whoever you are out there who thinks he hates your team. He doesn't care. He's actually got a sense of humor. The only time Joe Buck ever did too much for me was when he kind of tried to reach and step out of his lane a little bit and try to be funny on that talk show. And that was more than he needed to do. But as a play-by-play guy with some personality, I think he's got to be, if he's not number one, he's in the top three.
Wait, that was a show with Artie Lang, the first episode, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. That didn't go so well.
It didn't go very well. Artie Lang and the flat nose, incredible. Absolutely incredible. I like Artie in that series on HBO, Crashing. It's pretty funny.
I haven't watched that. I've got time now. I probably will.
You have plenty of time. Come on, man. Get with it.
I don't want to be trailing you and have you seen blank. If ever I'm behind you on that, I've got a lot of catching up to do. So let's keep watching Tiger King. We can talk about it together. Maybe we'll bring it up on next week's show when people have had a chance to watch. That one's nuts. That's on Netflix. I'll go watch some Crashing.
Okay, sounds good. All right, everyone, I appreciate you tuning in. Hope we were able to take an hour out of your day, have you enjoy some football, learn a little bit, have a couple laughs. We'll be back next week. Hope everyone takes care, wash your hands, stay safe, enjoy your kids and your family, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Take care, everyone.
Ripping split at the seams. Good-hearted people are taking it to extremes. Leaving